Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Hurry! These July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location while supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang. The economy in China requires a solution to this puzzle. I welcome Fraser Howey, the co-author of Red Capitalism, to answer this question. Chinese banks, says Bloomberg, are employing unusual practices to inflate their loan volumes as they struggle to meet government demands to pump more credit into an economy beset by COVID lockdowns and a beleaguered property market. Fraser, a very good day to you. Why are people not borrowing? Why are they having to cook the books in order to satisfy the central government? Good evening to you.
Hello, John. Hello, Gordon. Fundamentally, the economy has basically, or the economic model they've pursued for so long is now very much running aground. There is simply not the confidence in the economy. The property market is in a desperate position. COVID lockdowns literally mean that you don't know if you can leave your house tomorrow. That is literally the situation in China. Now, of course, the bulk of people will leave their house tomorrow, but they can't be certain of that. How can you plan for either personal spending or for business in that environment? This is the problem. And of course, also part of the problem is that the way the economy has developed and the government has supported state-owned enterprises, the banking system is not designed actually to pump money into the economy. The banking system is designed to pump money into state-owned enterprises. And so therefore, you have a very inefficient system for getting money to where it's needed. And at the same time, you have government control and COVID madness that has taken over. That means the economy simply cannot function.
Gordon, I have a question for our friend Fraser.
Fraser, it sounds like the property sector is stagnant or plunging, depending how you look at it. And the more important point, though, is that it doesn't seem like the central government has any answers to the problems in the property sector. Is there anything that Beijing could actually do to revive the sector?
I think it's very difficult. I think one thing which they could do, but there's no sign that they will. Remember, many of these problems started, or the real catalyst for these problems was the government's own policy of what they called the three red lines, which were basically a way of trying to rein in the property market, and in particular, the level of debt of the worst property companies. And this effectively stopped a lot of companies from rolling over debt or issuing more debt, or either onshore or offshore. So if you removed that, you could potentially be hopeful that this will turn things around. But fundamentally, the bubble's burst now, Gordon. You know that. You've seen this growing for many years, as I have. And that there's actually very little that the government can do. I think the key thing that the government wants to do, or must do, is that those people who have already paid for properties which are not built, there's got to be evidence that those properties will be finished. Because it's one thing having your house being delayed. It's another thing having put down a million, 2 million, 3 million renminbi, and finding that your property isn't even getting built. That's an impossible position for the government to operate under.
We go for another Bloomberg headline that may illustrate your comment, Fraser. China plans $29 billion in special loans to troubled developers. Subhead, loans to be used for completing sold but unfinished properties. So they're nationalizing the non-existent apartments? Is that what they're doing?
I think they have to do, because as I say, they're simply, you know, people. The property model in China is one where the customer basically pre-funds the entire purchase. And so people are paying mortgages on properties that haven't even started yet, John. That's an impossible position to be in. And remembering that this is happening at a time of COVID, COVID zero, where, you know, like you say, you're not sure your workers can even go to the building site tomorrow. So it's essential that the government tries to do something here and at least get some of these properties getting built. But ultimately, so much of this then comes back to the local governments. You know, we're so used to thinking about centralized power in Beijing, but the reality is that local governments have a tremendous sway over much of what goes on. And the government is trying to force the problems to be cleaned up by local government. But it's a hugely complicated task. And of course, solving it now is near impossible. The problem should have been addressed much earlier, and they should, frankly, should have taken better advice or listened to the good advice they were given a decade or two decades ago. But they thought they could do it their own way, and they believed in their own China miracle.
Gordon, does this mean they're going to give money to the Evergrande boys?
I don't think they're going to actually do that, at least with regard to Evergrande. Evergrande seems to be on a path to dissolution as its properties are parceled out. The question is other companies which have also defaulted or are near default. And I think that essentially we're going to see the government try to rescue them, as Fraser's talked about. But it is very difficult because the metaphor of pushing on a string comes to mind, that the government can say, you shall build, but people don't want to build, especially for brand new apartments, because they just don't see the market there.
You have a question for Fraser.
Fraser, you referred to zero COVID as one of the things that is inhibiting the Chinese economy right now because it creates this uncertainty. Is there any sense that zero COVID will be lifted? Some people say it'll be lifted after the 20th National Congress of the Communist Party, which, if tradition holds, will be held in October or November. But other people say it'll continue after that. What's your sense?
My sense is that it's going to continue substantially after that, because as we've seen, you know, COVID waves keep coming in the developed world or in the rest of the world where people have been vaccinated with better vaccines, where many people have already had infections, and yet you still get hospitals which are pretty full, you still get deaths, etc. And China has wasted effectively the past 2.5 years. They were very successful in closing down Wuhan right at the very beginning, after it already escaped, admittedly. But they were successful there. They thought that was all they needed to do. And yet, of course, the bulk of their old age people are not vaccinated, or if they are vaccinated, they're vaccinated with older technology, poor quality Chinese vaccines. So you have this huge population that is largely COVID naive. COVID has not ran through the population there at all. And yet, if you look in the States or in the UK or in Europe, you know, COVID's been running through the population for a number of years now. So it's very hard to see how you can get rid of COVID zero without there being a tremendous uptick in cases, and that means deaths as well. That means hospitalizations, which puts tremendous pressure on the health service in China. And again, so you've just swapped your property woes for health sector woes. And, you know, one of the things that many in the population like about the Communist Party, at least in the short term, is they believe the Communist Party have saved them from COVID. Well, you can't get rid of COVID zero and have that sort of level of that caseload without there simply being chaos. And so therefore, I can't see it being lifted anytime soon.
Fraser, a year from now, is the property bubble worse, or are they going to be able to buy it back, to nationalize it? We have about a minute.
I think it's probably going to be worse, because I don't see us going back to property, as we know, has been the safe investment for such a long time. I think they may have stabilized it, probably at a lower level. But it's certainly the idea that somehow we're going back to what it was before. I just don't see that happening. This is going to be another festering sore on the Chinese economy and society for a long time to come.
We've heard of mortgage strikes. They will continue, to your opinion, Fraser? People will still continue to protest?
I think that's going to be very sporadic. It's going to, and even when we saw it before, it was very specific to particular projects and areas. I think we could see those things, but they're going to be pretty limited in scope.
And Gordon, is this to get Xi Jinping past the finish line of the general secretaryship for the third term? Is that what this is all about?
I think this is broader. You know, certainly Xi Jinping wants to prevent any manifestations of a crisis between now and the 20th National Congress,
right,
if it's held on time. But generally speaking, these are problems that will continue on. And so this is an ongoing sore for him.
Fraser Howey, co-author of Red Capitalism. Gordon Chang, I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.